You're listening to Adopter Stories on the Adoption and Fostering Podcast. In this episode, Natalie shares her story of adopting, with her husband, a 19-month-old baby girl. After an initial honeymoon period, challenges started to manifest. And Natalie shares her story of the changes that that brought to their life.
We came to adoption, really, for me, it was something that had always been at the back of my head that I thought I would do from a very early age. I had this really weird feeling that I couldn't have children. And there was no basis for that. It was just this gut feel that I felt some weird connection to fostering and adoption. My husband and I were together and we started trying for family. It wasn't happening. I had lots of health things going on. It was something we talked about quite early on before we looked at IVF. We talked about adoption. And for me, I was already quite sure that that was something I wanted to look at. It just felt right. But for my husband, I think he hadn't arrived at that place yet. He wanted to be sure that we couldn't have children naturally or through IVF. So we ventured off on an IVF journey, which was really difficult. I found it really, really difficult. I found the thought of putting all your hope and dreams into this very expensive procedure and risking all this money and not knowing what was going to happen. For me, it was just really difficult. I had lots of health issues as well. So it wasn't a quick process. We took years getting through the IVF process. And obviously it did work. And I think not long after that, we just agreed, yeah, we've tried that. It's fine. We can cross that off and we can move on to adoption. So for me, it was a really easy choice. But for my husband, it was a much more difficult journey, I think, to be comfortable that was right for us. But I think once he got his head around it, we both went into it with open arms. And we didn't really look into lots of agencies. We had a friend that had adopted, and they were probably a couple of years ahead of us. So we kind of benefited from their experiences. We listened lots to what they'd said. He wrote a blog when they were going through the process. So we had some insight to what home visits would be all about, or the home study. And we're just keen to get started when we did. We went to the local authority and started the process with the social worker that we still have, and found it hard going in terms of the time scale it took to get through it, but found it to be an interesting process. We thought about things that we probably hadn't thought about. It made us reflect lots on how we were parented and what was good about that, what was maybe more difficult for us when we were growing up, what struggles we had. We found it to be quite an interesting process. And I know everyone says it's a long process and it takes too long. We actually kind of felt it was about right. We reflected lots and really thought about our childhood and what we'd want for our child. So, yeah, we thought it was bang on. I think once we'd gone to approval panel, I found that really, really hard after that. You just left and you go through this process where you've got all these deadlines, you know, for your next home visit or for the report coming through and then your approval panel. And then suddenly you're just sat waiting and you're expected to get on with your life and everyone's telling you, go and do all the things you can't do when you have kids. And obviously by that time you're ready to have kids. You're desperate for kids. So I found that really, really hard. It just felt like a never-ending period of time where we were just sat waiting. It was actually only 3 months before we got the papers for our daughter. So it really wasn't that long, but it did feel like it took forever. Our social worker had come out to see us and told us that she'd got a child in mind that thought we would be a good match for. She didn't give us any detail on it. But the big issue was this child was still having weekly contact with her birth mom. So it was going to be a really big commitment if we were happy to think about it. So we reflected a lot on it, and obviously we're desperate to have a family, but felt a weekly contact was too intrusive. We were very, very open to letterbox contact. We weren't so keen on, you know, actual physical contact, but certainly weekly would have just undermined anything we'd done as adopters. So it was an immediate no. But weirdly, that was the little girl that we ended up adopting. She had gone through a process with her birth mom that hadn't worked out. And a month and a half later, we were given her papers and told that this was the little girl we'd previously discussed, but the contact had stopped. And for us, it was the first set of papers we'd been given. You know, we read this report and just felt heartbroken for the birth mom. You know, I mean, my husband's words were, can we adopt the birth mom as well? You know, it felt like she just never had a chance in life. The world was against her. It was never going to work. And so, yeah, we went ahead. You know, the description of our daughter was very generic, so you couldn't really read too much into that. A healthcare professional, the child community officer, had told us anything's possible. We don't know. It's impossible to read too much into anything. So we felt very much in the dark again as to what the future may hold, and just keen to impress the social worker, get the home baking out and the coffee on. You know, it was like, what can we do to make this woman think we're absolutely right? So for us, it actually happened really quickly. I remember we got her papers on the 16th of October, and our matching panel happened really quickly. And our daughter was still in, I don't know what the laws are like in England, but certainly in Scotland, which is where we are, when the child first becomes available for adoption, I think there's a 3-month window where they remain under the control of the children's panel here. So we were still in that 3-month window, and we went to a panel hearing, or we didn't go. They had a panel hearing on the very beginning of December, and we were told that they'd agreed that she was to move to us on a fostering basis initially with a view to adoption. So by the 11th of December, we were meeting our daughter. So it actually happened really, really quickly. Again, something that they'd really discouraged moving her before Christmas because of, you know, the issues she would have later in life. But we insisted we would cope, and we have coped. It has become very difficult, but we've coped. For me, it was just an incredible moment. I'd felt very disconnected when we'd first seen her photos. It just felt like someone was showing me a photo of a child. It hadn't registered that that was my child. And I was really nervous about how I'd feel when we first set eyes on each other. And certainly when I looked at the photos of her, all I could see were all the differences. And I was scared that that would be a problem. How would I know I'd love her? How would I know she'd love me? But yeah, gosh, the first time I set eyes on her, I can remember I walked in to the house, and this little tiny tot with pigtails, curly pigtails, you know, poked her head around the corner with this huge grin. And that was it. I was hooked from that moment. So I never, ever have felt such an overpowering feeling of total unconditional love. And I knew from that minute I was totally fine. I think for my husband, it was a very different journey. And I don't know that we talked about it a lot early on. I think it was quite scary to talk about that, about maybe how he was feeling. I remember asking him very early on, maybe in that first few days of intros, you know, do you love her? Do you think you love her? And him kind of dancing around the subject of, oh, you know, what is love? He couldn't quite say, but didn't have the overwhelming gush of from day one. For him, it was a really slow process. And we now understand a little bit more about why that was a slow process for her, because I think she was very much the same. She didn't feel the connection with him from day one. But yeah, we've been inseparable really ever since, in some good ways and some bad. But yeah, it was certainly a difficult feeling for him, not feeling the same way I did. But we went at it. We did everything we were supposed to do. Obviously, we didn't celebrate Christmas that year, which was a struggle for me because I love Christmas. It's usually a very busy time. And through intros, we really enjoyed getting to know her. For us, we felt really frustrated that it lasted, I think it was supposed to last 9 days. I think she was 19 months at that point. I think whilst she's emotionally very young, she's also incredibly attuned to what's going on around her. And it was just like she understood what was happening and just wanted it to happen. It was too painful, us coming and going. It was agreed she'd come home to us a day early, which we were delighted about. We were thrilled. So yeah, I remember us driving away that first day. I got in the car, I cried everything. I got in the car and, you know, in tears, trying not to show her I'm in tears because it's supposed to be, we're her safe people, but being so overwhelmed that suddenly this is it. This is the moment we've waited for. So yeah, it was bizarre. And I just remember being exhausted, absolutely exhausted in those early weeks. Obviously, you've got this human that you're trying to care for that you don't know. You're trying to read every signal, every movement, every bit of eye contact as to what that might mean. And so, yeah, early days was really hard going. I am somebody that likes to chat and socialise, and staying home for that period of time, I think we were home alone pretty much for about a month, was really hard, especially when you know everyone else is celebrating Christmas and they are socialising and you know what your family's doing. But we got through it, obviously. It was worth every moment. She was with us for 2 years that I would say was our honeymoon period. Those first 2 years, thank God we had them, because if we hadn't, I don't know where we'd be now. It was fab. We loved every minute. We very much paraded as a normal family, and had fantastic times, had little holidays, introduced her to our family. Everybody loves her. It was just as good as it could be. And then our wheels came off. We had decided to start the process for a second child. And we'd always wanted to do this. We'd always talked about wanting a second. In fact, we fought the social workers really hard because they insisted that we wait 2 years. And we fought like billio to try and get them to allow us to be approved but not look to match until 2 years. But they insisted we wait. And I mean, now looking back, thank God we did, because it was horrific as was. If there was another child involved, it would have been awful. So we started the process. We started home visits again. So it wasn't unusual for social workers to be in our house. We maintained a relationship with them because we knew we wanted to adopt a second. When she came to do the first home visit, we'd arranged for Granny to come and collect our daughter. And the social worker arrived before granny took her away, took our daughter away. So she saw that we were having a meeting with a social worker. And she also came back before the social worker left. So we had a good relationship with the social worker. She knew the social worker, but she'd been involved in every meeting we'd ever had with them. We'd just sit and drink coffee and chat. And this was the first time she'd been escorted off the premises when they'd come. And I, if I could change anything about life, it would be that we wouldn't obviously have done that. And that afternoon, her behaviour literally changed straight away. It was that stark, the change. Very angry, very defiant. And then that weekend, we decided we were living in a rented house, in the house we're in now, but we were renting it. And at that point, we didn't know if we'd get the opportunity to buy our house. So we decided to check out the local market and see what houses were available, and went and looked at some new builds with our daughter. And of course, she put the two and two together, we think. And she, we think, must have felt in her head that that was the house she was moving to, the children's bedrooms all made up with no children there. And our wheels fell off. It was horrific. We had probably about 4 or 5 months of really, really challenging behaviour. She regressed significantly. She was not wanting to play with anybody, not wanting to engage with us in a positive way. Just so sad to see this little girl that had been so happy and content, so we thought, had suddenly fallen apart and her world was crumbling around her. So, and obviously the guilt we felt was just awful. But it took us about 10 days to realise that had been the trigger. And of course, once we did, we then started working with our social worker as to how the hell we put this right. We were lucky enough to get some funding approved to work with a company up here that provide support for foster carers and families. They did parental mentoring with us and really introduced us to therapeutic parenting, and also started TheraPlay games with us as well. And it made a massive difference. I wouldn't say we were hugely traditional in our parenting. We were aware that we needed to do things differently, but we certainly needed to tweak our language. We hadn't fully embraced what we'd been told at prep group. You know, it was, I guess we kind of dismissed it as maybe you need that for the children that don't cope with life. But ours was fine, there were no issues at all. So yeah, we've discovered therapeutic parenting, and actually my cousin introduced me to Sarah Nash's therapeutic parenting Facebook page, which was my saving grace at the time. I'd gone from being totally isolated and alone to having thousands of people available at my fingertips for support and advice, and they were amazing. So life changed very much in respect of we started parenting differently, and of course her attachment started to recover, her ability to believe started to recover, she started playing again. And around that time, I think we really decided that we needed to change the way we were living. So I'd taken a year off when she'd first come to us, went back to work 3 days a week, and she was in a private nursery. And we recognised that she couldn't hold us in mind for the full day at nursery. And we decided to move her out of a private nursery. I would take a career break and we would place her in the local school nursery with a view to getting her in a good place for school. the local school nursery took her in. She did amazingly. She really struggled with the separation again. Because it was only under 3 hours a day, she coped. And the teachers within the nursery were fabulous. They got her. They understood her. And she was really well supported through that period. The therapeutic parenting obviously helped as well. And I think we did really well for about a year and a half. And then our wheels fell off again. So our journey really has been very much like that. I think 2016 was a really difficult start. January was when things went totally pear-shaped. January 2018, it happened again. So by this time, we've made the connection that for our daughter, Christmas is horrific. Christmas time that in her first year of life, her birth mom stopped visiting her. And she was having, you know, 6 days a week contact, three overnights a week. And that just cut off immediately overnight. And it was also the time she moved to us. So her first 2 years of life were shaped by these moves, these changes. And we were a family that went to Centre Parks the first week in December every year and put the Christmas tree up the first weekend in December and enjoyed all the festivities of Christmas and hadn't really connected to how traumatic that was for her. So January 2018 was really difficult. It was more angry. It was more violent than it had been previously. It was more heartbreaking to see this little girl who'd, you know, recovered somewhat to again fall apart. And I don't think there was a specific trigger as such. I think it was probably a mixture of life events. You know, she'd started a new nursery. It was the month of Christmas and just a few little things had happened. Last January, things got really difficult again. And really, we've not recovered from that. It's been a really difficult time. I would say we had 3 weeks in the summer where she totally relaxed. The first 3 weeks of the summer holidays, you know, the trauma of school wasn't hanging over her, and she relaxed, and we had an amazing first 3 weeks of summer holidays. And then she became conscious again of when the school period was going to kick in, and in her head she was clearly counting down. It's been horrific. There have been wonderful moments within that, of course. We have odd days where she holds it together and she does really well. She makes us proud constantly. You know, there's so many things she overcomes. And we find it so hard to judge what she can cope with, because a lot of the really big things that you would imagine a child with her early start and her anxiety would struggle with, she's flourished with. So, you know, she's been to two big family weddings and been asked to be a flower girl. And I've set the scene and said, oh, I don't think she's going to cope with this. And we'll try, we'll see how she does. But the expectations need to be really low. And of course, she's totally proved me wrong and cherished being the centre of attention and been a complete star, superstar on both those occasions. But it's the little things that we found to be really difficult. Things that maybe we hadn't considered to be a problem. She really struggles with school. She struggles with the separation of being away from me at school. She struggles with any relationship. Anyone that comes near me is a threat. So if a child comes to hold my hand or asks me for help, she will literally put her hands up to them and tell them, you go and ask your mummy. This is my mummy. So it's made life's difficult. It really is difficult. It doesn't mean we wouldn't do it again. It doesn't mean we don't love her, but it's really challenging. I think I've probably become the parent that I hated before we had children. I'm massively grateful to her for making me a better person, because I would have been a complete arsehole if I'd had a birth child. I would have been the most judgy, show-offy, horrible person out there. And obviously, you have to let that go. You have to learn a totally different way of being and a new level of patience. So, yeah, I'm very grateful for being her mom. I'm very proud of her. But I think life isn't what we would have imagined it to be at all. I often think, like, if we could do this again, what would we do differently? I don't think prep groups prepares you in any way, shape or form of what lies ahead. I think therapeutic parenting has to be something you have a really good understanding of, because you're gonna hit a wall if you don't. And you'll get there eventually, but it can be a less bumpy ride if you start off as you mean to go on. I wish I'd embraced that more. I wish they'd educated on that. Actually, when the wheels fall off, the support is non-existent in terms of proper available support. We are so lucky that we have worked with the same social worker throughout our process pretty much. And she's still working with us in a very different way now. My heart bleeds really for people that don't have that, because without that, God, it would have been a really, really difficult, lonely place. You know, she's constantly been the one to say, you're doing this right, you are doing the right thing, you are the right people for her. So I think the lack of support is something I wanted to talk about. The lack of access to therapy, the lack of acknowledgement from healthcare professionals that this is a genuine struggle. We're dealing with calms at the moment, and you would think that we're the only adoptive family in the world that has ever had this journey almost. It's like you're fighting your way all the time, and you fight with everybody. You fight with the school, you fight with your GP, you fight with everyone you come into contact with. So it's quite exhausting on that front. You've really got to be strong-minded. I think I pussyfooted around in the first year of school, not wanting to upset people and not wanting to rock relationships and wanting to feel part of a team. And I realise now that I've got to forge the way for her. No one else understands her like I do. So I've really got to be the one that is shouting from the rooftops.